Good morning. It's a pleasure to be with you today to welcome you to the First Baptist Church in Malden. My name is Rich Robison, for those who don't know me, and I'm here today to fill in while Pastor Martha is away with family in New York. I believe she'll be back with you next week. But in the meantime, it's my pleasure to be back with you here again. So welcome to each and every one of you. It's a beautiful day to be together here in this place. I've been asked to share a few announcements with you. First of all, there is a spring flower sale with proceeds going to the Refugee Immigration Ministry. Orders will be taken through May 7th and flowers delivered on May 14th. And so there's information about that if you are interested. Secondly, the Bread of Life Annual Volunteer Recognition Banquet is Monday, May 8th, here at Anthony's in Malden. Sorry, not here, but Anthony's in Malden. And there's details about that. I'll bring all of these things to the back after the service so you can look at them. Church Women United at First Baptist Church Medford on Saturday, May 13th. Breakfast at 9 o'clock and a program at 10 o'clock. And so you are invited to attend that. And then on Saturday, May 13, the Friends of the Massachusetts Baptist Multicultural Ministries is having their annual dinner. And Marilyn Glover says that she has two seats available. If you would like to claim those seats, please see her. And then finally, Church World Service Blanket Program, and there's an insert in your bulletins related to that. Are there other announcements that need to be made at this time? It sounds like a full slate of social opportunities if you haven't had your calendar already constructed for the month of May. Anything from up above? Okay, hearing none. Let us join our hearts and our minds together and begin our worship. The responsive call to worship is printed in the bulletin for you. Please join me. Sing praises to God, you faithful. Give thanks to God's holy name.
Joy comes in the morning.
You turn our weeping to dancing, God. You remove the garments of mourning and clothe us in gladness.
May we praise you and not be silent.
We will give thanks to you, O God, forever. The hymn is Love Divine, All Loves Excelling, number 507.
Thank you.
Please join me in the unison invocation as printed in your bulletin. Let us pray. We come before you, O God, in Easter joy, seeking to be a people of the resurrection. Be known among us. Grant us the assurance of your presence, your love, and your renewing power. Through your word and spirit, reveal to us your purpose in our lives. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And may we pray together the prayer that our Lord taught us by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please be seated. We come at this time to join together in moments of prayer. Let me ask if there are prayer requests and those things that need to be shared with the congregation here today. And presume I know absolutely nothing about what your prayer needs are this week. So please feel free to share with the congregation those things that are on your hearts and minds. Thank you, Lisa. Sharon had surgery and is home from the hospital and appreciates the well wishes. We're glad she's okay. Are there others? Many of you will have things on your own hearts and minds. Let us begin with a moment of silent prayer, and please feel free to lift those things before God as we come together in prayer. Our loving God, we live in a world that seems marked by an absence of love. If we expose ourselves to any media, we hear things that we wish we didn't hear. We believe there should be concord amongst us, and we find there is strife. We anticipate and hope and work for harmony and discover there is dissension. Where there should be love, we find hatred and threats of war. We try to be voices of calm and peace, and we are drowned among the shouts of chaos and confusion. We see these scars not just in the world, but even amongst the life of faith, the life of the church, everywhere, it seems. And so in the midst of all of that, we turn to you. We pause for a moment. We look to you, O God, who offer life and grace. In this season of Eastertide, we are reminded of our Christ who has loved us and laid down his life for us to enable us to love others. And so today, as we pause from the chaos and the busyness of our lives, as we quiet those distractions, as we open our hearts and our minds before you, fill our lives with the power of your Spirit, that same power that gave Christ the ability to be raised from the dead and to share his ministry of reconciliation in the world. Oh God, open our eyes, that we might look upon the world with Christ's vision, that we might see the needs of those around us, our sisters and our brothers. Open our ears that we might hear with Christ's ears cries of pain and hurt and those in need. Open our hearts and our hands that we might respond with Christ-like compassion and bring your love to bear in a hurting and a confused world. We give you thanks for this place, a place of sanctuary, a place of peace, a place of hope, a community of faith, a shelter in the storm. It is our church, a place to come and be accepted, to care and to love and to share. We pray for one another. Many face health conditions and challenges. Grant your healing and your strength, we pray, O God. We especially give thanks for Sharon, who serves us so well, and in her time of recuperation, your healing upon her with our good wishes. We pray for those who mourn and those who have lost loved ones. We pray for those who are alone and those who are lonely. We pray for those who are overwhelmed and stressed, those for whom their life path is difficult. O God, grant peace and hope and opportunity before us that we truly might be your people and see the power of your love at work in this world. Bring to pass the day so long waited when all people will live in harmony and all the human family will be united under your glorious rule. And grant that we, who would be the people of your body, the people of faith, to answer your high calling of service, that we indeed might live as you, O Christ, have lived. Bless us, guide us, strengthen us. For we ask it in the love of your Son, our Savior, Jesus, our Christ and Lord. In his name we pray. Amen. It is our privilege to give back and to worship through our giving. Let us give thanks unto God.
Thank you.
With joyful hearts, O God, we come before you and give thanks. The privilege is ours to worship, to offer our gifts, to live in service. Accept these, our gifts, and the intentions that come with them, that they might lift your ministry and praise you in every good way. For we ask it through Christ. Amen.
Today's reading is from Psalm 116, verses 1 through 4, 12 to 19, and from Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy, because he turned his ear to me. I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I was overcome by trouble and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, save me. How can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have freed me from my chains. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked among with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going further, but they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread.
This is the third week since Easter. In the Christian calendar, we call it Eastertide. In other words, it's not just over when the sales end at the store. In fact, it's sort of same things happens at Christmas, doesn't it? We sort of have our event on the 24th of December, and then we think everything is all done, even if we do a little something on the 25th. But really, Christmastide goes for a while, where we still think about the event that took place. Easter similarly. So Eastertide, the third week of Easter. And here we have it. So we had the Palm Sunday. We had the resurrection event. We had the opportunity then for the discovery of the tomb and the women who came. We talked perhaps about that in previous weeks. And then there was Thomas, the one who said, "You have to show me the wounds, and I have to put my hands there to be sure." So this week, we're into yet another part of the Easter story. This week, we're talking about those who were walking along the road, and a stranger came up to them, and they did not recognize him. Has that ever happened to you? Somebody perhaps you've already known, and you meet them out of context, or it's been a while. I was at an event yesterday where I saw some people I hadn't seen in a few years. And as we reminded each other of our names, it was kind of that feeling of, I really liked you the first time I met you. It's even better the second time around. It's like, oh, sure, I remember. And then it kind of comes flooding back. But they look differently. Perhaps I recognize their voice. You've had that kind of experience, haven't you? Where you're just not quite sure. Or sometimes when I start talking to somebody I haven't seen in a while, I can remember their children. I can remember where they lived back when. And it's like, come on, brain, give me the name. Give me the name. I just need the name. It would help a lot in terms of recognizing. So they were walking along this road to Emmaus. And we've just heard the story. And this stranger came up and wanted to know what was going on. Do you know how much our lives have changed since these have been invented? If you can't see it, it's one of those little phone gadget things that you carry in your pocket. So now, if we want to know what's going on, before we embarrass ourselves and say, I have no idea, we say, excuse me. And we turn around and we plug it into Google and we hit the button and then we become instantly informed and we can turn around and be confident again. I don't believe they had this gadget on the road to Emmaus. Not yet. And so the stranger said, well, tell me. And the response was like, you must be the only guy in Jerusalem that doesn't know what's going on. The whole city's been in an uproar. And there was this fellow who came to the city who claimed he was the Savior. And all of these things happened, and he was arrested, and he was crucified. And now they say that he's alive again. Of course, the interactions we now know by looking back through the scripture were between the disciples and Jesus himself. But they did not recognize him until they were together and he revealed himself one last way. And their eyes, the scripture says, were opened, and they recognized. It's kind of an embarrassing situation, isn't it? I mean, what would you do if you were, like, with somebody really famous for a while, and you didn't recognize them? I may have told you this story before about the day that I met Kevin Bacon. You know, the actor who talks about, you know, there's 7 degrees of separation and everybody in the world is ultimately related to Kevin Bacon. The circumstance was, actually, I was to present a check that my organization had fundraised to the State Department of Children and Families with the commissioner, and the Globe was going to be there and take our pictures. And it was with another actor, Tim somebody, that was in a movie that was about Mystic River, or Tim Robbins. And so I went to this hotel downtown to meet this fellow. I had this great big styrofoam check that was worth nothing, but it had a nice picture on it. And I carried it in, and I was waiting in this empty hotel ballroom for the others to arrive. And as I waited, this fellow came in, and he was casually dressed and had a leather, you know, kind of a short leather jacket on, and and we just started chatting. The others were very late. Then I got a phone call that the commissioner was going to be late. And so we sat there and we talked, me and this one gentleman, for 25 minutes. My name is Rich. My name is Kevin. Okay. I was so oblivious and so anxious about the other. So we went through this whole deal. Tim Robbins finally came in. Commissioner came in. Globe came in. Pictures. We all stood there, smiled cheesy. Got it all done. Off we went back to my office. And when I told someone in my office that I had just been with these people, and they said, well, did you meet Kevin Bacon? I said, who? They said, Kevin Bacon. You know, the seven guy, degrees of separation guy and all of that? And I said, oh, well, I just sat for 25 minutes chatting with this guy named Kevin. What's he look like? And so they showed me his picture, and I went, that's him. A little after the fact. And it's like, oh my gosh, I didn't know who I was meeting. Now, you've had that experience sometimes. A friend, family member you haven't seen in a while, a colleague, and it's like, oh my goodness. Their eyes were open. And then they recognized him. When he first appeared on that road to Emmaus, they didn't quite know who he was. Perhaps they were still consumed with the notion that he had died, and it wasn't widely yet known that he had been raised again. And he accompanied them, and he told them his story. And then they discovered who he was. It's a miracle. Now, what's a miracle? In my way of thinking, and it could be just solely my way of thinking, a miracle occurs when God somehow intercedes directly into our world. Sometimes we like to think about miracles like they're kind of the things that happen magically and we don't know how to explain it. So sometimes on the news in the morning, they have these eye-popper moments that they show you to kind of lighten up the news after all of the horrible things. People have been maimed and killed in wars, and then let's do some eye-poppers, and they show you these goofy things like, you know, the bear that got in somebody's garage and so on and so forth. Well, way back when television was new, do you remember the old show Candid Camera? That was kind of the first eye-popper show, wasn't it? And if you don't know what that is, it was a show where they would photograph or videotape people in kind of constructed and embarrassing situations that they would construct to see what their reaction would be. For example, they would do things like hang a bird cage and have sound effects that sounds like a bird singing, and then ask people to describe the bird that was in the cage. And of course, the reality was, no bird in the cage. But people would start to make these stories up about the bird they saw. There was another one where a guy was sitting at a coffee shop like a Dunkin' Donuts. He'd put his cup down, and the daisy that was in the flower vase on the table would lean over and drink the coffee out of his cup. And then he would go to lift his cup, and it was empty. And then they would try to catch his reactions to that. And one of the guys said, well, it must be a miracle. So we think of miracle as explaining the unexplainable. But I think in the context of our faith, a miracle perhaps is not well explained, but is that time, or are those times, when somehow God reaches in directly to our lives, which is exactly what he did in Jesus Christ. It was the miracle of miracles for all time that his only begotten Son would be the one who lived and died and was raised again, that we might have life. And that when we encounter the Christ and recognize him, the miracle occurs all over again. It might be little miracles. It might be those ones that, you're not so sure. Like somebody actually let me go through the intersection the other day and yielded. Or some other time when somebody smiled and made an appropriate, encouraging gesture instead of the gruffness that we often experience. What are the small miracles, those little times that help us recognize that indeed Christ is alive in our life and in the world around us? Do we see it in the beauty when we walk out on a day like this and we see the budding flowers beginning to burst forth? God interceding one more time. And after a long and trying winter and all of the struggles of the life we've experienced in the last months, isn't God smiling on us one more time? Can we recognize when God is present? Can we recognize when the Christ is here? When we are gathered as a community of believers and we find encouragement from one another? Can we see the beauty that exists in a particular place? Can we see God's presence when we let the pedestrian pass? Can we see it in the sky? Can we see it in the hope that is ours? Can we ask ourselves, what is Easter? What is this resurrection life all about? And I would suggest, and don't mean to be presumptuous about this, that your answer to that question of what is Easter all about will guide the quality of your own daily existence. If you can see God in the little miracles around you, those times when God makes God's self present to us, when we can see the business of God is about caring and loving and hoping and starting new when we're discouraged. It's what Paul described in 1 Corinthians 15. Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. He was raised on the third day. He appeared to Peter and to the 12, and then he appeared to more than 500 at one time. And then it went on to say, if this were not so, according to Paul, if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is in vain and our faith is without hope. Can we see the miracle? Can we figure out when Christ is present? Even if it's a little bit after the fact, like my experience with my friend Kevin. Then it was like, oh, now I get it. It makes sense today. When we've seen the Christ and we haven't recognized him, and then it dawns on us, like the morning dawn lighting on Marblehead, the first place the light arrives. It's like, oh, now I get it. Because we know that God's divine intervention, the miracle, is to know the love of Christ which surpasses all knowledge and helps us to become fulfilled with the fullness of God. Or according to Peter, it was becoming partakers in the divine nature, becoming sharers in the life of God, For God took on humanity that we might share in divinity by grace. Or some of the saints that have followed, some of the ancient thinkers. Saint Irenaeus said, "In his unbounded love, God became what we are, that he might make us what he is." Or another saint, Athenaeus, once said, "God became human that we might become one with God by God's grace." There's no doubt that the resurrection event has changed our life even more than our technology. It has given us insight even greater and more instantaneous if we can but open our eyes and our ears and our hearts and our spirits to the presence of God. There was another road story in the scriptures that you probably are familiar with. The one about the Samaritan and the people walking and discovering the man who was left to die. And how they responded. How they helped. And how that ultimately it became clear, if you do these things to the least of these, my sisters and brothers, even if they're not necessarily just like us, it's as though you've done it directly to me, said Christ. And so we recognize who he is, his presence in our lives, and we respond with the behavior and actions that he calls us to show more humanity. There's the miracle. That's when the miracle occurs. When we take the time to lift our eyes from the screen and look to the people around us, to acknowledge them, even to just say good morning in a welcoming way. I know there's sort of this unspoken rule that you guide your eyes the other way and don't speak to people when you pass them on the street. But when you do, sometimes you get funny looks, like, what do you want from me? But sometimes somebody responds, and a relationship for at least an instant moment occurs, and there's a connection, and there's a humanity that occurs, a miracle of God. We're not designed by God to be isolated human beings. We're created to live in relationship. That's where we find our meaning. That's where we find our joy and our peace and our hope. The little miracles, when we recognize Christ alongside us and our eyes are opened and we recognize him. Well, of course, that poor guy in the coffee shop, that wasn't a flower at all. It was a trick. There was no miracle. They had devised it. Somehow, he was befuddled, but he still said, it was a miracle. That flower, it's a miracle. Well, the flower bowed its wild and beautiful head and drank his coffee, and the man could not avoid seeing it. No one could. He was a dingy and tired-looking man. He was just in his shirt sleeves. He had been taught by life that there are no miracles in this world, and there was very little joy. But suddenly, before his eyes, a little miracle happened. And it changed him somehow. We are bound to each other, one way or another. It's a miraculous view that we have when we walk with our Jesus, with our Christ. Because then we cannot help but see the truth. And once we see it, we cannot help but try to move away, and we can't because it's there. And then we know that the miracle exists. And the only thing we can do when Christ comes into our lives is to open our arms and embrace our lives with the miracle of the power of God and let it flow. Let God be God in and through us. King of kings, Lord of lords, Savior, the power of transforming love. And when you let that happen, small miracles will occur in your own life. And you'll find that with the people around you as well. So the next time you go to Dunkin' Donuts and your flower starts sipping your coffee, what will you do? Will you proclaim it a miracle? Through Jesus Christ our Lord and His resurrection, we are reminded that God's life is for us, that God wants to share His life with us, beginning now and forever. His life is a miracle, a mystery, a power, and a joy. His love of our hearts, His light for our minds, His grace with our souls, to share His life with us no matter where we are, no matter what we feel, no matter where we've been, no matter what we've done, no matter what we may be going through, God wants to share His life with us beginning right now in this moment, in this life, and forever with Him. Hallelujah. It's the Easter season. Christ is risen, and miracles are occurring around us. Let us pray. Remind us, O God, in this resurrection season, in this sense of ascension from new life that you have experienced, that you are here and want to share your life with us and make our ordinary, everyday experiences filled with your miracle presence. Help us to begin now and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you.
been great to worship with you here today. We're so glad that you're here. May the peace of Christ that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds together in Him, not only for this day, but for all of the days to come. Go in God's peace. Amen.